morning. And I do want to take my time with the message. I think it's an important one, and we will certainly be thankful that we're studying God's Word and learning together. I'm so glad for all of you that are here this morning that you've come and desired the good thing. And so we need to encourage one another all the more so. Some of us are hurting and some of us are joyful, and let's merge those things together so that we can uplift the hurting and increase our joy. You know, today I'd like to talk to you about the scripture that was read in your hearing. That, of course, comes from Matthew chapter 11, and we will be looking at that scripture today and Lord willing, even tonight. And so I'd like you to go ahead and turn your Bibles there and just follow along. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 and the following. You know, there's something that's happened in the news that I noticed recently, and that, of course, is a great wedding. And that wedding, if you're familiar with it, is something that is between two very well-known people over in England. The announcement of Prince Harry and actress Meghan Markle. And it seems to be a really big thing. The whole world is focusing in on this proposed marriage. That announcement, and I know you can't read that, so I put this up there. It simply reads, Tuesday the 28th, November 17, the marriage of His Royal Highness Prince Henry of Wales and Miss Meghan Markle will take place at St. George's Chapel, Windsor Castle in May 2018. Her Majesty the Queen has granted permission for the wedding to take place at the chapel. The royal family will pay for the wedding. Further details about the wedding will be announced in due course. I want you to notice that in a lot of the words that are printed there, many things are capitalized. For example, His, capital H, Royal, capital R, Highness, capital H, and Prince Henry. And when you think about that, it kind of gives you an understanding of this monarchy here in England and how they view them. They're putting them up on a pedestal. They're very high. And so this wedding is a big deal to them. There's an announcement that's going to go out of the wedding itself, the invitation, rather. And when we think about this invitation and how it's going to come to place, and we realize that there's only 600 people or so that are actually going to be invited to this wedding. And I know that my invitation's coming. I've been watching the mail closely, and my wife tells me not to wait too long. But, you know, there are a lot of very famous people that are going to be invited to this wedding. For example, the list right now being composed supposedly has our past President Barack Obama and his wife, the former President Joe Biden, and there are movie stars and actresses. The Spice Girls are all reportedly on the list. And so with all those people on the list, I'm not really too worried that I might get an invitation because I don't measure up. But in all these 600 invitations that are going to be sent out, all those people have rank and they all have status and they all have great influence in the world. And they're all going to be honored, I'm sure, to get an invitation to this wedding. And it's an international thing. The whole world is going to be paying attention to this wedding. And as they come along, as it gets closer and closer, there's going to be news cameras and TVs all around the world. And the wedding is going to be a historical event. But, it's no measure. In any way, shape, or form, does this wedding invitation measure up to the greatest invitation ever given? It just doesn't even come close. And for those of you that are here today that may not have accepted the invitation, I want you to pay very close attention today and, Lord willing, tonight. Because this invitation is something. It's greater than all the invitations in the world. And it's given to you. Read the words again with me of Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all you who are labored and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You remember our theme for this year is unity. We all want to come together in one mind and in one spirit, in one body. And truly, truly I believe that there's no greater source or beginning for unity than to accept the invitation of Christ. It all starts there. And that invitation doesn't have a beginning or an end in this world. It's timeless. If you haven't accepted the invitation, the beginning for you should be today. If you have accepted the invitation, then the rest of the things that Jesus promised would happen when you do come to Him still apply to you in your life. All the wonderful benefits and the blessings that come from this invitation belong to you and will be with you all throughout your life. And no one can take that away from you, because the hand of God is stronger than the hand of man. Jesus begins with, "Come unto me." And think of the significance of that phrase. He's not giving you the Apostle Paul, who was a wonderful ambassador of Christ. He's not giving us Peter. He doesn't have apostles today. But He exists today, sitting at the right hand of God. And Jesus said, "Come to me." Not to Dave. Not to the Prince Henry or the Queen of England. Not to any famous person. Come to me. And His invitation has us all coming to one source. And that's what's wonderful about it. You know, you think about the Bible. We talked about the evidences for the Bible and how the Bible has 66 books and written by over 40 different people. But the one source for all that is the mind of God. One source inspired those men through the Holy Spirit to write the things they did from in the beginning God to the very end of the books. One source. And when we think about this invitation of the Lord and we think about one source for knowledge, Peter writes that all that pertains unto life and godliness, by His divine power, God gave us that. And so, when you think about this life and anything that pertains to life at all, that pretty much covers everything. He gives us knowledge and wisdom through the Scriptures. When Jesus says, "Come unto me," He's offering you everything that pertains unto life and godliness. He's offering through that particular statement. He's offering that to everyone who is in this world, everyone who is heavily laden or labored, everyone who needs rest. That's what He's offering when He says, "Come to me." The one source. That one source also will be a source that changes lives. You think of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and 19, what He said to those early disciples when He walked by and He saw Peter and He said, follow me. Come to me. I will make you fishers of men. James and John, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. He changed their lives from that moment on. When Thomas, who doubted, he changed his life. The apostles who were terrified in Jerusalem and they saw the resurrected Savior and went out and preached Jesus to the same people who crucified him, that's evidence he changed their lives. Even Peter, who denied Jesus, his life was changed. You see, he's not going to leave you alone to yourself. When he says, come unto me, he's going to be there. And he's going to be with you to help you through this life to change the things that need to be changed. I saw a sign, and many times you see a sign on some of the church buildings around, and the sign simply says, come as you are, and you can stay that way. But you know what? We come to him in sin. We don't want to stay that way. We come to him in troubles, and we don't want to stay that way. We come to him with our sorrows, and we don't want to stay that way, because he's going to change us. He's going to make a difference in your life if you come to him. The one source changes lives. The one source will accept every single person that comes to him without exception. You know, we all know the Bible verse, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the one source. That whosoever, the whosoever's of this world, that includes everyone. I've talked to people who believe in predestination, the election of souls unto salvation and some unto damnation. And they believe that some people were picked to go to heaven and some people were picked to go to hell. Whenever you talk to someone like that, you just ask them, well, then who did God not love? Who is it in this world that God didn't love? Because the Bible says God so loved the world, and he said, whosoever in the world will believe in him. See, they got it all wrong. Without exception, this invitation is open to every single soul. And all we need to do is turn to that one source and accept that invitation. Also, with that one source, he will ease our burdens from daily life. Think about Psalm 23. How does David open that psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Think about that. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pasture. You think of that image of a person who walks out of a horrible, terrible situation and right into the hands of God. You're not sure about your life? Walk into the hand of God. Come unto him. You have doubts. You have concerns. Come unto him. You're not really sure. Come unto him. If you're stubborn, come unto him. He will make you lie down in green pasture. Comfort. You know, in the Boy Scouts, we taught young people that God's grass is God's air conditioning. On a very, very hot day, you're just really hot, you know what you can do? You can go out and lay on the grass and it'll cool you off. Try it. God will make you lie down in green pastures. He's going to cool you off. And he'll lead you beside the still waters. That means, that represents that all the turmoil, all the struggle, he can smooth that out. He doesn't stop you from going through the valley of the shadow of death, but he's always there with you. and He will give you rest for your souls. That's that one source. When He says, come to me, that's the one source. Another thing that that means is He'll eliminate your sins. In Acts chapter 2 and 38, when Peter, after Peter had preached that first sermon and people heard that and they were pricked in their hearts, cut to the heart, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He will wipe out your past sins. A clean slate. And when He does that, it removes the guilt of sin from you. When you accept the invitation, when He says, come to me, and you come to Him, He's not just saying you come and just follow me blindly. He's saying, I'll give you knowledge. He says, I'll change your life. He says that without exception, I'll accept you and I'll ease your burdens and I'll eliminate your sin. What a wonderful thing it will be to be in this world, knowing how depraved this world is and recognizing our fallen nature, that we have sinned. And listen, we've all sinned. When you define sin to any person, they would be foolish to say, no, I've never sinned. I've never done that. I've never lied. I've never cheated. I've never stole anything. I've never cursed or cussed. We've all sinned. And that one source can take that away. And He's the only source that can take that away. That's what it means when He says, come to me. And not only will that, but that one source will offer you true rest from adversity. In Psalm 94, in verse 13, listen to what the psalmist writes. And we'll read verse 12. Now, let's go to verse 11. Psalm 94, verse 11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. The Lord will not cast off His people, nor will He forsake His inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. He says, come to me. And He's offering you rest from all the confusion, all the adversity, all the troubles in life. He's offering that. And all we have to do is accept it. We just have to come to Him. And let's not be confused. I'm talking about Jesus. That's who said those words, come unto me. And not only will He deal with our adversity, but He also, that one source, Jesus, will gently and meekly guide you daily through all the trials, the temptations, and the troubles of life. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 17, this is what we read. Verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ, that's Him, that's the me, Himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And He will do that. He will do that. In Luke chapter 1 and in verse 79, way at the end of that chapter, Jesus will be the one source to give those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide their feet into the way of peace. He's going to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He's going to give you light. You who sit in darkness. You who sit in the shadow of death. He's going to give you light to guide your feet into the way of peace. When Jesus says, "Come unto me," that's what he's saying. And finally, Jesus is that one source that will be alongside of you all the way through your lifetime. No matter where you go, Jesus says, "Lo, I will be with you." Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, he said that we, for the disciples who would go out, the apostles, and they would teach and baptize, make disciples, and teach them the same things. And then he says, Jesus says, "And lo, I will be with you, even till the end of the age." When you come to him, when you learn of him, and you go out and you teach others, and he will be with you always. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5, he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." One source, Jesus. He's making these true to everyone who will simply come to him. For the knowledge, you come to him. To change your life, you can come to him. And everyone, without exception, can come to him. You know, God so loved the world, while we were yet still in our sins, Christ died for us. He's the one source. And there's none other like him. So what does he do here in this segment? He says, "Come unto me, all you that are labored and heavily laden." All you who labor and are heavily laden. Think about that. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." And let's talk about this yoke and what a yoke is. First of all, you can see the two ox there with the yoke between them. A yoke is designed to help carry your burden and to guide you along the way. In John chapter 14, and in verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace, not as the world gives I give you," but he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When you take his yoke upon you, you're taking that peace. He's going to lift you up and help you with the burden. The God of creation said that two are better than one. Right? So if one falls, the other one's there to pick him up. And how can two walk together unless they agree? When we agree, it's because we have that yoke between us and Jesus. And he's helping us along that path. When we stumble, he'll pull that yoke and lift you up. Take my yoke upon you. That's what that means. In Psalm 94, again, verses 17 through 18, "And unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence." Many people refuse to come to Jesus and they settle their souls in silence. They come to a place where they feel like their feet can't move. But the fact is, the Lord is your help. And you don't have to settle in silence. You can stand up and rejoice simply by coming to the Lord. That psalmist goes on to say, "If my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up." That's what it means to have that yoke. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's yoked to God. And though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, for he's upheld by the hand of God. That's the one source. That's Jesus. And he's right there, ready when your foot slips to help you, ready to keep you out of that deafening silence. And all you have to do is come to him and take that yoke. Psalm 3 and 3, the psalmist writes, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me." He's a shield. Not only will he carry you and help you when you're weak, but he will guide you and protect you. A shield. He says, "To my glory, Jesus," or God, "is the one who lifts my head." Isn't that something? When your head hangs down, God's going to come along and he's just going to lift it up. When you're weary, he's going to come along and lift you up. When you stumble, he's going to lift you up. When you feel as though you're going to be in that silent place where you're alone and by yourself, he's going to be there to pull you out. If you come to him. Another thing that yoke is good for is it's intended to help get the work done. God, Jesus, promised the disciples that they would receive a Comforter, a Holy Spirit, that the Father would send in his name, and that he would teach them of all things and bring to remembrance everything that Jesus ever said and did, helping them along the way. Remember Matthew 28:20, he says, "I am with you always, even till the end of the age." He's going to be there to help you get whatever needs to be done, done. Do that through the encouragement of the Word. Do that through a right spirit. Do that because you have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Do that because you know who created all things and you know the power of the Almighty God. He's going to do that because you know that he parted the seas. You know that they passed on dry land. You know that they were fed manna in the wilderness for their hunger and water from a rock for their thirst. He's going to do that because you know that Baal has no power to do that. This world and all the things in this world can't help you. They can't lift you up. They can't help you get the work done. It was God who burned up the altar, not Baal. This is Jesus. "Come unto me, take my yoke, and I will make sure." He will give the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you're baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that will help you and guide you and direct you for all the answers you have in life. Again, 2 Peter 1 and 3, "By His divine power, He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by grace, by glory and virtue." Come to Him is what we're talking about. That what happens when we come and we allow His yoke to be a part of our lives. And finally, the yoke is from Jesus. And it's custom fit just for you. You know, we're not all exactly the same. We all come from different backgrounds and with different kinds of problems. And we know that there's nothing new under the heavens, but we all have our own issues. And listen, when you have an issue, it's very personal to you. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter that your neighbor comes to you and says, "Oh yeah, I've been there and I've done that." What matters is Jesus has been there and He's seen that. And He custom fits the yoke just for you. You think about Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, that God knows every need that you have. Every need. He'll provide the things that you need. In Philippians chapter 4 in verse 19, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and His glory by Jesus Christ. I mean, think about this. He's going to customize a yoke for you, and He can do that better than anybody ever. I can offer you my hand and help, but it doesn't compare to the powerful hand of Jesus. I can come over and do things for you, but it doesn't compare for what He did for you. And listen, I want you to think. Think about what was read, what was said in Luke in chapter 12 and in verse 7. Look at that right now. Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. And you think about this one source, Jesus, who says, take my yoke upon you. And you think about what this yoke is doing for you, how it's designed to carry your burdens, how it intends to help you get the things done you need to do, and how it's custom fit for you. You know why He can make it so custom? Look at that verse. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. By who? I don't know how many hairs you have on your head. Brother Joe Royster was at a get-together at the house the other night. I know how many hairs he's got on his head. For those of you that don't know Joe, he's bald. But I don't know how many hairs are on my head. I don't know how many hairs are on your head. But God knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows that. So who would you turn to help you when you feel like you just can't do it? Turn to Him who can customize that yoke to help you along the path. When He says, come unto me and take my yoke upon you, that's what it means. And I can't help but notice in everything that we're looking at this morning, truly, the Lord's invitation is the greatest invitation ever offered to mankind. He placed the load upon Himself, and that's what makes the invitation so great. He doesn't load you up with heavy burdens like the Pharisees did. He doesn't tell you, well, if you want this, you got to go out and work and do that. If you want to get rid of your pain, if you want to get rid of your suffering, if you want to get rid of your confusion, your stubbornness, whatever it is, you just come to me. I will help you. That's the great invitation because He put the load and the responsibility on His shoulders squarely. It's a great invitation. And it centers upon Christ, not me. See, He didn't say, come to Dave. He didn't say, come to Randy. He didn't say, come to Sister Beth. He didn't say, come to anyone. He said, come to me. It's on me. Why did He say that to begin with? Because He knows the future. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows where we are and where He wants us to be. In Acts chapter 17 and in verse 31, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man. He is God, the man is Jesus, whom He, God, has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all. By raising Him, Jesus, from the dead. You see, that's what makes it so great. Jesus took our burden, our sin, to that cross. He carried that on His shoulders. He took our burdens, and He still wants to do that today if you come to Him. You come to Him today. He'll release you of that doubt. He'll release you of your pride. He'll release you of your stubbornness. He'll release you of the burdens of sin because He carried all that on the cross at Calvary. He's going to judge the world. You don't want to be that one who said, I didn't come. You don't want to be the one who was invited to the wedding and you say, well, I took a wife and I can't come. You don't want to be the one who was invited to the wedding and you have a field or land that you just bought and you got to go check it out. You don't want to be the one who was invited to the wedding and you have a cow that you've got to take care of. You don't want to be one of those virgins that were left outside because they weren't prepared, because they didn't come prepared. He says that day's coming when the door will be shut. And he's given us assurance of that great invitation laid squarely on the shoulders of Him, Jesus, who God raised from the dead. Combined with all the philosophers, the greatest minds, the brilliant men, the most powerful men that ever lived, they can't answer a simple question without contradiction, without conflict, without confusion. They can't answer a simple question, but Jesus can. They can't answer, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is my purpose in life? People write books on the subject and never come to right conclusions. They can't heal you. They can't help you. They're not going to carry your burdens. They just add more questions and more burdens. Only Jesus, only the one source, only our Lord and Savior has the power and the right to say, come to me, learn of me, take my yoke upon you. He's the only one. There is no other. Boldly, Jesus can claim and own the answers to life's questions and to the meaning of life because He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6. He alone. And He's unique. Don't mistake that. When He says, come to me, He's talking about one source, a unique source, a special source, a source that can't be duplicated. The historical Jesus is the Christ of our salvation. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is the Lord of life, and everything centers around Him. And all our burdens rest upon Him if we will just simply come. Now, He, as we read, will be the standard that will judge us in the last day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what He's done. Whether good or bad, it doesn't matter. Jesus wants to take the bad upon His shoulders, and He wants to change you. He wants to transform you by the renewing of your mind through the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. That's what will happen if you just simply come. If you have sin in your life as a Christian because you already came, He's going to deal with that. If you repent and begin a change, walk a new way, He can deal with that for you. But apart from Jesus, there is no solution to the problem of sin. Lord willing, tonight we'll continue the study and talk more about what Jesus can do and the things that He talks about in this text, about taking your yoke we've talked about. He's going to tell us about how we can learn of Him, how He is gentle and lowly in heart, how we can find rest for our souls. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He can do it. He has the strength when we don't. If you've not obeyed the gospel, today is the day. You need to come forward. You need to accept Christ. You need to come to Him. It's that simple. Three simple words. Come to me. That's all there is to it. Erase the sin. Be a part of the family of God. If you are living in sin and you're a member of the body, you've already come to Him, then you need to come today and you need to repent of that sin so that all these blessings, all these truths will be still a part of your life. Yeah, you may fall, but He'll be there to lift you up. You have to repent this day. You have to be baptized. Whatever the need may be, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.